This is Always Sunny in the Rich Man's World, a DCU's Batman comics verse, Superman comics verse fanfic, written by Alone in the Rain and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake Connell, with additional tags for crack treated seriously. Lots of jokes about Sugar Baby Con, Sugar Daddy Tim, so be careful if that's not your cup of tea. Sugar Daddy. Gift giving. John can be an obnoxious little brother. As a treat. The Kane instinct is strong with this fic. Summary. The Kents and Waynes find out that Tim's love language is gift giving. Con isn't a sugar baby. Really, he isn't. He isn't! Ah, this nuts. I know Sugar Baby Superboy is a running joke in the fandom, but I seriously believe that gift-giving is one of the ways that Tim shows affection. It was how his parents showed affection growing up, and he always clung to that. So now it's his way of saying, I'm thinking of you, even if he's neck-deep in a case in Gotham. Plus, Con loves it, and Tim loves seeing his reaction. That being said, this fic is not serious at all. I also had Ken and John to be more of a sweetheart, but he deserves to be an obnoxious little brother. As a treat. I didn't include Bruce, Alfred, or Cass in Chapter 2 because it already felt crowded with just 6 people. The Bat-Fam is too big. Stop adopting children, Bruce. A writer can only handle so many characters at once. Have mercy. One day I'll write a serious Tim Confic, but today is not that day. Chapter 1. The Kents. John is slogging through his algebra homework and contemplating asking Damien to meet up for evening patrol when the doorbell rings. He pushes back from the table and squints at the door. Using his X-ray vision, he can see a delivery man waiting on their welcome mat, holding... Mom, John calls, getting up from the table. Are you expecting a gift from Dad? I don't think so, Lois calls back from her office. She doesn't have to raise her voice in a house full of Kryptonians. John opens the door. He can barely see the delivery man behind the massive bouquet spilling out of his arms. He doesn't know much about flowers, but he can tell this arrangement is beautiful. And expensive. Red and black wildflowers sprout up between thorny roses, held together by a dark ribbon. Definitely not the sort of thing his dad would pick out. I think you have the wrong house, John says. The delivery man turns and checks the number on their mailbox. Nope, this is it. Well, John supposes, it won't be the first time someone tried to relentlessly pursue one or both of his parents despite them both being happily married. John is just wondering whether he has to contact the Justice League about this would-be stalker when Con thunders down the stairs. They're for me. John blinks. What? Con shoves John out of the doorway and makes grabby hands at the delivery man. They're for me. Con takes the flowers gently, careful not to crush them. John stares at him in horror. Does he now have to worry about his brother also having a stalker? How long has this been going on? Con thanks the delivery man and nudges the door closed with his foot. Without waiting for John, he bounces into the kitchen with the armful of gothic flowers. John follows silently behind him, mind whirring. Con settles the bouquet on the counter and fetches a ceramic vase from under the sink. John didn't even know they owned vases.
The flowers are wrapped in soft tissue paper and fastened with a black ribbon. Con unwraps them with practiced ease. The tissue paper is laid to one side, and the ribbon is wrapped around his wrist like a bracelet. The flowers go into the vase with a splash of water. John watches silently as his older brother fusses with the flowers, making sure they're arranged just so. He feels like he's losing his mind.
Are you, like, a pod person?
Con frowns, attention still fully on the bouquet.
What?
Since when did you care about flowers? Con stops, frown deepening into a glare.
What, because guys can't get flowers? Not masculine enough for you, dude? No, of course not. I just haven't seen you like this before.
Con runs a hand through his curls, gold rings glinting at the movement.
You totally have. You were there the weekend I got this, right?
Con points at his jacket. Dark, expensive leather, with a galaxy embroidered in gold along the sleeves and torso.
Yeah, but you bought that yourself. Dude, did you buy yourself flowers? No offense, but...
Con laughs.
There is no way I can afford this jacket or these flowers.
John grips the countertop. He has the sudden urge to lunge across the kitchen, tackle Con to the ground, and physically hold on to him.
Is Luther trying to buy your loyalty again? Do we have to kick his ass?
No! Con raises his hands up defensively, like he's read John's mind.
No way! This is all from Tim.
With fresh eyes, John examines Con's gilded leather jacket, designer jeans, the gold rings and earrings.
Dude,
he says, not taking his eyes off the diamond pendant hanging from his brother's neck.
Tim's your sugar daddy.
Con launches himself over the counter and grabs John in a headlock. John yelps like he's been stepped on and tries to thrash out of his hold. Gravity drops away as he attempts to fly away, but Con holds on tight, and John ends up floating upside down, legs kicking wildly in the air, face buried in Con's armpit.
Con, let me go!
Take back what you said.
Are you saying it's not true?
Well, it's...
Con shakes him like he'd shake crypto when they're playing tug of war.
He can't see it, but he suspects that his brother's face is bright pink. You shouldn't say things like that.
What? True things?
John tries to twist away, but an errant kick sends the bouquet of flowers flying. Con throws it a hand and catches it midair using TTK, still somehow managing to keep John squashed under one arm.
John!
John winces.
My bad.
Clark chooses that moment to walk through the front door with groceries. He blinks as he takes in the kitchen. One son flushed bright pink, the other one hanging upside down in a chokehold, and a giant bouquet of flowers suspended in the air, frozen with TTK.
Afternoon, Clark says mildly. Nice flowers. Does your mother and I have another stalker?
Dad, John says, from where he's still stuffed under Con's arm. Con's a sugar baby.
I am not!
You totally are, dude.
Con finally releases John, who flies to the other side of the kitchen, out of arm's reach. He finger combs any knots out of his curls from being stuffed in his brother's armpit. Con gathers the frozen flowers, gently easing them back into the ceramic vase.
It's not like that. It's just Tim.
Yeah, Tim, John says. Your sugar daddy.
almost drops the flowers. He whirls on John, who dives behind Clark. He has enough survival instincts to know when to abandon all appearances of bravery. No fighting in the house, Clark reminds them, as he begins to unpack the groceries. Tim still sending you gifts then, Con? Con, if possible, flushes even redder. Yeah, it's how he shows he cares. Before John can make gagging noises to annoy Con more, Lois enters the room, called by the sound of the fridge. She spots the mountain of flowers by the windowsill. Oh, what a beautiful bouquet. Another stalker? Clark kisses her on the cheek as she passes. Not this time. Con has a sugar daddy, John says loudly. Is that all? Lois says. I already knew that. Con groans. Ugh, I hate this family. There's nothing to be ashamed of, sweetheart, Lois tells him. After all, you're not the only person in this room to be a bat's sugar baby. Chapter 2. The Waynes. In Steph's defense, Tim should know better than to leave his phone out in the open in the Batcave, let alone leaving it on full volume. The phone dings for a second time, then a third, fourth, and fifth time in quick succession. Whoever is trying to contact Tim clearly isn't scared of double texting. Is that Dick's phone? Duke asks. Grab it before he realizes, Jason says, making grabby hands at Steph. I bet it doesn't even have a pin code. I think Bruce would string Dick up by his toes if he didn't have a pin code. No way. The Golden Child could get away with anything. Guys, Steph says in a low voice, that's not Dick's phone. It's Tim's. There's a moment of silence as they all consider that. They glance across the cave. Tim is hunched behind the computer, still dressed in his suit, fingers flying across the keyboard. Utterly unaware of the danger he's in. What if it's booby-trapped? Duke asks. Jason grimaces. He did leave it unmuted. He never does that. It's probably a trap for whatever poor bastard takes the bait. I'm willing to take that chance, Steph decides. She reaches for the phone, the way she might reach to defuse a bomb. Across from her, Jason and Duke hold their breath. Steph is acutely aware of the sound of typing echoing across the cave. Her fingers graze the side of the phone. Nothing happens. No electric shock, no alarm, no explosion of ink branding her like a bank thief breaking into a rigged-up vault. She flips the phone over and begins to read the most recent notifications. She scrolls through the texts, eyes wide. Duke leans forward. What is it? What did you find? He's finally cracked, hasn't he? Jason says. I had $50 and him not turning evil until this time next year at least. No, Steph says. It's so much better than that. Dick and Damien emerge from the changing rooms dressed in sweats. Dick makes a beeline for them, scrubbing a towel over his damp hair. Damien sleepily follows. What are you guys up to? Dick asks, with all the experience and suspicion of an older brother. This, Steph says, beaming, is Tim's phone. He left it unattended, on full volume. Damien's eyes widen. What did you find? Please don't let it be porn, Duke says. Damien huffs. Don't be so crass. It's probably a trap that Brown has foolishly stumbled into.
That's what we thought too, Jason says. But the phone didn't react when Steph picked it up. Surely something would have happened by now. It must be something else.
Dick cocks his head to the side.
He never takes his phone off mute. Why would he do that? Unless...
He's not gone full villain mode yet, Steph says. He was waiting on a message from his boyfriend.
Do we even want to know what it says?
Jason asks with a grimace.
Yes?
Dick throws his damp towel at him. Jason grabs it midair and twists it up, but Dick dances out of arm's reach before Jason can try and whip him with the towel. Steph leaps onto the table and clears her throat, holding the phone up high.
Ahem! Ladies and gentlemen, please gather round for the reading of Tim and Kong's passionate love letters.
Dick and Duke applaud her. Damien pretends to gag. Across the cave, Tim looks away from the bat computer at the sound of Kong's name. He squints at the sight of them gathered around Steph, who is posing dramatically on top of the table.
Huh?
There are 5 messages from Khan, all received within the space of 10 seconds.
Tim scrambles upright, case holders toppling to the ground.
Is that my phone? Members of the jury should note the 6 heart emojis saved next to Khan's name.
Tim lunges for Steph, eyes wild.
The heart emojis are ironic. There's nothing ironic about his love for you, Steph says, jumping off the table and onto the railing. If she doesn't stay out of Tim's arm's reach, she'll lose both the phone and a hand.
She clears her throat and continues reading.
Text message the first. Just got your bouquet. The flowers are so beautiful. Please note Khan's many, many exclamation points. That's just how he texts.
Sounds like he was expecting the bouquet, Duke says.
How often do you send this boy flowers, Tim?
Steph points a finger at Duke.
Next message. They're even prettier than last week's flowers.
Last week?
I'm going to kill you,
Tim tells her, hands twitching like they're trying to wrap around a bow staff.
No one will find your body.
Worth it,
Steph decides, before adopting a breathy, love-struck voice to continue reading the messages.
I really like the thorns. They're as dangerous and beautiful as you.
Jason pretends to gag into his helmet. Damien turns to Tim.
I thought my opinion of you couldn't sink any lower. You've proved me wrong.
Wait, it gets better! They're our colors!
Tim's face drops. Steph gets the sudden and terrifying impression that she just stepped on a landmine.
All right, that's it.
Tim dives for her. Jason and Dick, the closest, sidestep neatly away from them, doing nothing to save her. Tim knocks her off the railing and flat on her back with a practiced move. Steph shrieks and tries to twist out of his hold, but Tim has the power of sheer rage on his side. The phone goes flying out of her hand, sailing up and over Tim's head. Dick snatches it out of the air, because of course he'd save Tim's phone and the blackmail evidence, but not her. Dick gasps.
Khan sent a photo!
Oh, God!
Steph says against Tim's bony shoulder.
If you didn't have a passcode, I could have seen Superboy's dick.
Tim looks for a second, like he's debating whether to kill her or himself.
It's just a photo of him with the flowers. He always sends me a smile after he gets a gift.
He sends you a smile?
Duke presses a hand to his chest. That's actually really cute.
This is the real reason why Tim hasn't cracked yet, Dick says. The megawatt Kent smile could power all of Metropolis.
I don't believe it, Steph says loudly. $10 says the photo is really a nude.
Can you guys please stop making bets about me? Tim releases his hold on her and steps away. He takes his phone from Dick, unlocks it, and holds up the phone so they can all see the photo plastered across the screen. Con is in the Kent kitchen, smiling brightly, holding a gigantic bouquet of red and black flowers. Steph shudders to think how much a custom bouquet of that size would cost.
Dick coos at the photo.
That's adorable.
Damien huffs. That particular arrangement isn't terrible, I suppose. You definitely could have done worse.
You really like him, huh? Duke asks.
Tim ducks his head, pulling the phone closer to his chest.
Yeah, I do.
Simp, Steph says. Tim elbows her in the side in retaliation. She tries to bite him, but he's still wearing his body armor, and she just hurts her teeth. Dick leans forward, examining the photo closer.
That diamond pendant he is wearing also looks too nice for a farm boy. Not to mention those gold hoops, and his embroidered leather jacket, and the designer suit I saw him wearing the last time you guys went out to dinner in Gotham.
Tim pulls his phone away, but it's too late. They've seen the evidence and put the pieces together.
Timothy Drake Wayne, Dick says slowly. Do you have a sugar baby?
Tim jerks back, eyes wide. His phone is stashed somewhere in his suit, and Steph doesn't doubt that this will be the last time any of them ever lay eyes on it.
No.
We literally just saw photographic proof, Steph says.
Yeah, this is pretty damning, Duke says.
Good for you, though. He's hot.
He is.
Jason reluctantly agrees.
I'm weirdly impressed. Didn't know you had it in you to be a sugar daddy.
Tim has gone bright pink. Steph didn't even know it was possible for humans to turn that color.
He's not my sugar baby.
Tim is so mortified that he started to shake. And Steph wonders idly if this will be his breaking point.
It'd be a hell of a villain origin story.
It's all right, Dick says, rubbing him on the back. Con is a great guy. If you had to pick anyone to be your sugar baby, I'm glad you picked him.
Is it weird that I feel really single right now?
Duke wonders.
Yes, Jason says.
What, do you want a sugar daddy too?
Steph cocks her head to one side.
Isn't Bruce technically everyone's sugar daddy?
Horrified silence fills the cave.
I'm going to murder you, Tim tells her.
I will help, Damien says.
And from the traumatized expressions on everyone's face, Steph thinks that no one would try and save her.
The end.
Arthur's nuts.
Tim and Con are never going to hear the end of this.
Except where Con has one little brother, Tim has five siblings. And Steph. Reader's notes.
I saw the summary for this, and I dove straight in, and the universe said, fuck you particularly, because it has taken me
over 2 hours to record this between sirens, fireworks, in the daytime, one man laying on his horn for over 7 minutes because I timed him, my mom calling, my dad calling, more fireworks, and another fucking fire truck. The windows are closed. You should not be able to hear this. And yet somehow, every single noise that could happen in the span of my recording period has happened. The only thing we're missing is a fucking trombone. But, anyway, Alone in the Rain, thank you so much for having blanket permission to Podfic, because this level of cracktastic joy, I love it. I love it so much. John being the perfect level of snotty little brother. Con being an absolute romantic. Steph being completely entitled to her position as a critiquer of Tim's love life. The whole Tim getting like sort of more succinct and locked down the more pissed and enraged he gets, the more he's willing to commit murder, everything. Jason's ongoing, here is my bet for when Tim will crack, not if, but when. Every single piece of this whole thing was like the perfect level of Bat Family super fam shenanigans. So yes, thank you so much to Alone in the Rain, Dragon Blanket, permission to Podfic, and also for writing this in the first place. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.